Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 2nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, the folks at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be along to take a complete look at the agricultural news in a few minutes. And then I'll tell you about Explore ACES, an opportunity for students to come on campus and see the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, ACES, right here in Urbana-Champaign on the land-grant campus of the U of I. It all happens on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
We took a chance.
No, we bet on a sure thing, and we can do it again.
So let's ask them.
Okay. Listeners, we want to keep Pledge Drive short, but to bring you more programming and efficient fundraising, we need your help. Please contribute early online at willpledge.org. Help make our second Power Hour a success by contributing to the Member Match Fund. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Friday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. The March in Chicago down a penny for the day, rather down 6.5 cents at 4.11. And the May futures at 4.21 were down 7. July at 6.5 lower at 4.30. December contract from Chicago at 4.07 were down 6.5. The March wheat in Kansas City, by the way, was down a penny. March soybean futures were at 7.5 lower at 7.39. The May at 7.53.5 were down 8.5. In July at 7.69, they were off 7.5 cents today. November beans off 8.5 for the day. 7.91.5 the settlement price there. The March bean meal at 2.15.60. They were down 4.20. The March bean oil at 29.69, and that was up 16 from the corn pit. Nearby March contract at $4.11 off 6.5. The May at 4.21 down 7. July corn at 4.30, 6.5 lower, and December futures down 6.5 cents at 4.07. From the Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle at 103.90. They're up 1.50 for the day. April futures at 97.65, up $1.50, and June contract up 1.12.5, and they finished at 95.50 for the afternoon. Crude oil futures nearby April contract at $61.60 a barrel. They were down 40 cents. CRB index at 309.96, down 2.28 for the day. And the Dow at 12,153 at this hour, down just about 81 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. I don't know how much you watched the tech side. We had a discussion yesterday about that. We did finish up with an outside down week in the corn market. And then there were some interesting numbers that came out of USDA's Ag Forum. Which side would you like to take up first?
Well, let's start with the forum. I think we've been overshadowed maybe by the technical selling this week, but I kind of like to look at those numbers because I think that's what's going to happen down the road maybe in this market.
So as we take a look at those numbers from the forum, they made some projections, planted acres now on the USDA Ag Outlook Forum for next year at 87 million for the corn. The harvested at 79.8, yield nationwide at 152.8. The yield is down from the 153.1, but planted acres are up about a million, as well as the harvested acres. And they're putting total yield across the nation at 12 billion. 195 million for production. What do you think of all those numbers?
Well, if we follow through in the March report, Todd, again, this is a relatively low number. Again, we saw Allendale out at 90 million acres, and we've had those different reports along the way that suggest the USDA is too low. But in the bottom line, that's a pretty optimistic or positive number for prices. It means we have to have a very good yield if we only go to up to 87 million corn acres and have that 153 yield.
How do you play that in with the tech side that's happened this week then?
Well, I think what we saw this week, I'm going to relate it back to the beginning of the year. Remember we had that sharp sell-off again early from the funds in the January time window. Then we came back with a report and the market focused back on fundamentals. So I think as farm producers, we've got to look at this. They're not just beating up on the grains. You look at gold down $20 or plus in the stock market and the energies. overall, you know, it's a good technical correction, and kind of places I'd watch is 50-day moving averages on the December corn contract comes in about 390, and November beans about 770. In January, we tested, you know, 50-day moving averages and bounced out of there. So those are levels we'd be watching.
And so you're really thinking we're just technical trade-off, a near-term top in the moment?
Yeah, I think it's still in a good long-term uptrend, and you got to balance this thing up every once in a while. We were overdone, you know, and the Dow also had made some record highs, and obviously corn and beans well up there too. So I think it's just a correction in an uptrending market and healthy to get things back in balance as we head towards spring.
So your expectations then continue to rise as we go through at least the end of March. Where might there be a spot that it would rest out at?
Well, I think, again, and next week's going to be kind of critical. Hopefully we can make a bottom next week and, you know, meet those technical objectives, and then we can start to work higher in anticipation of that report. I think, again, if you took those numbers from the USDA, Todd, on corn, I think that's a fairly constructive, you know, number there. That's saying we're not really getting 90 million acres, and we're not really going to increase the carryout. We're going to decrease it.
No, they're looking at a carryout of 637.
Correct.
So that's a fairly small. That's a fairly tight number, but if you take a look at some of the numbers they released, I think maybe on the 15th of February, that's kind of number they're looking at from here right on out over the next 10 years or so. It's that kind of tight supply. Does the market get used to looking at a tighter supply number at some point and not worry so much about it? Didn't we do this back in the 1980s when we had the reserve, and then we got rid of that, but we didn't really worry about the tight supply in the marketplace?
I think that's one of the things Mike has seen out in Washington. You know, there's a lot of different people out there, the commercial buyers and world buyers and such, and I think they're trying to figure out how to deal with this. The best thing we could do for, you know, as producers in agriculture is to meet the needs of everybody. We really don't want to short crop or cut somebody off, whether it be the livestock guy or the ethanol guy. So the bottom line is I hope we can get enough acres to satisfy the need. But when you get down to this critical and big change in agriculture, you got to say, well, there's going to be uncertainty, and people are going to have to defend themselves or cover their positions to make sure they can get by here.
So you're still protecting to the upside then?
Yeah, whatever we sold, you know, we've got to go through the weather. We've got a long ways to go. If you sold it, we'd like call options. Or, again, this break here might have helped encourage producers to look at some of those put options that are pretty cheap to create a nice floor underneath us.
We talked about the outside down week. The corn futures, by the way, finished this week for the week. The March corn from Friday to Friday off 19 and a quarter cents. December futures were down 14. The soy complex dropped the nearby beans 39 and a quarter cents this week to $7.39 in the March. The November beans were down 39 and a half at $7.91 and a half. Was that a correction that needed to take place too?
Yeah, I think, again, it's healthy for this market. We have gone up significantly since last fall, and you run out of buyers, so to speak. Everybody's bought. I see South Korea did come in and buy some corn, so there are buyers that are looking for breaks to buy, and then that stabilizes the market and turns it back around.
And tell me now, we've got the numbers in for crop insurance. You're satisfied and ready to make some decisions about that?
Yeah, great numbers. I think the corn's around $4 and the beans are around $8. Some fantastic values, and I talked to several of our customers this week, and they're making those decisions and picking out which one they want to go with. So really no bad answers over in the crop insurance. It's just picking the level and what product you want to use.
Deciding which product and which level and how much you're willing to spend. Are you willing to spend more to protect at this level, do you think?
Well, personally, I am, because, again, when I look at the value, yeah, the premiums are up some. But, you know, looking back at last year's prices, I think we're looking at, you know, almost double maybe in corn. So I'm willing to give them $10, $15 more to get a whole lot more value underneath me, Todd.
Okay, anything that we need to discuss in the livestock today?
Cattle had a good rally. You know, I think what we're trying to see over there is the numbers didn't quite go into feedlot like expected. So I think it's interesting to see that they want to keep those meat prices up. They want that cattle feeder to keep feeding those cattle. So good for that end of it if you're in the livestock side.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Friday afternoons.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region tonight says in the north it'll be windy, scattered light snow and flurries. In central sections, mostly cloudy with some flurries. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 18 in northwestern Illinois to around 30 in the south. By the way, a snow and blowing snow advisory in effect this afternoon for northern Illinois into northwestern Indiana. That until 6 o'clock tonight. A wind advisory in effect for central and southeastern Illinois until 4 o'clock this afternoon for northern Indiana and central Indiana through the early evening. And for portions of east central and southeastern Indiana right on through late tonight. Tomorrow, the forecast looks like this in the north and central sections, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered snow showers, a few flurries. In the south, mostly cloudy with some scattered flurries. Highs tomorrow from 24 in northwestern Illinois to near 40 in the far south. Wind speeds tomorrow between 15 and 25 miles to the hour with higher gust. The extended forecast calls for dry and cool weather on Sunday and Monday, dry and warmer temperatures expected into the second half of next week. That before a vigorous storm system is expected to bring widespread rain and potentially strong thunderstorms back to the area, and that could happen late in the week. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA now expects U.S. farmers to plant 87 million acres of corn in 2007 and projects corn production at 12.2 billion bushels. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins made the projection yesterday at the annual Agricultural Outlook Forum. Collins says returns are projected significantly higher than a year ago.
We're projecting corn net returns at $334 an acre. That's up $209 from last year, almost 70%. Net returns for soybeans, wheat, and rice are also up, and only cotton faces bleaker prospects.
Last month in its baseline projection, USDA put corn plantings at 86 million acres and production at just over 12 billion bushels. As for wheat, Collins expects livestock producers to substitute wheat for corn feed.
Wheat production could increase to 2.2 billion bushels. That would be up 360 million from 2006. But we also expect more wheat around the world. Even with more wheat in the United States, more wheat around the world, we think that there will be higher wheat feeding, substituting for corn, and that will keep wheat prices strong. We averaged $4.30 a bushel for the 2007 crop, up a nickel from this year.
Yesterday, Collins projected soybean plantings at 70.5 million acres, the lowest in more than 10 years. Soybean production is expected to decline 300 million bushels from last year's record high level of 3.188 billion bushels. Collins also expects some recovery in exports to China, which could lead to a drawdown in U.S. soybean stocks. An economic advisor to the Bush administration predicts that with the right incentives, full-scale national cellulosic ethanol production could happen in 5 years. Alan Hubbard says the nation's leading scientists in cellulosic development to a person are convinced of the projection. But President and CEO of ADM, Patricia Wirtz, says the devil is in the details, adding that there will be numerous challenges to develop needed infrastructure to support the 35 billion gallon renewable fuel standard championed by the Bush administration. Meanwhile, the nation's chief energy analyst says ethanol production is moving faster than demand. Guy Caruso says, expect a relatively soft market for ethanol this summer. Caruso says demand of refiners is not keeping up with the pace of corn-based ethanol expansion. USDA officials say as of now, technical and cost barriers are too high to create an ethanol reserve similar to the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman has been speaking of the possibility of a strategic ethanol reserve. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says there are scientific issues that present a challenge to storing ethanol for long periods of time. And USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says the cost to store ethanol would be much higher than to store oil. USDA now forecasts agricultural exports for fiscal year 2007 at $78 billion. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns.
We revised our export estimate for this year, 2007, upwards to $78 billion. It was at 77. We've revised it upwards to 78. So that means we'll have a one-year increase of $9.3 billion, and that is the second highest on record.
But USDA also raised imports by $1 billion, leaving the predicted trade surplus unchanged at $8 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all kinds of information about agriculture, including the latest USDA reports, along with the MP3 files that correspond to much of what you hear on the radio station each and every day. And a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter, it's all at WILLAG.org. Well, up next, if you know someone that would like to graduate from the University of Illinois in the future, now would be a great time to invite them to see the campus, and in particular, the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Up next, an invitation to Explore ACES Weekend. I'm going to step out of my role as a reporter for the College of ACES, the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences now, and into a role as a representative of the college, and invite you, personally invite you, to come over to the College of ACES on the Urbana-Champaign campus for an Explore ACES weekend in March. Now, this is an event that's specifically designed for high school and community college students, their parents, and their friends. It's their opportunity to really get to know something about the College of ACES here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. This will be done through some hands-on interactive exhibits that will be staffed by students and professors across the college that will demonstrate what they've been up to and what they've accomplished in their particular fields of study. The event runs from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock on March the 9th, that's a Friday, and from 10 to 2 on Saturday the 10th of March. The exhibits are held right here in the college buildings on the Urbana-Champaign campus. There's a tent on the north end of what I like to refer to as the Mad Lab, or the Edward R. Madigan Laboratory, the Ermel Building. That's at the intersection of Goodwin Avenue and Gregory Drive. That'll serve as your entry point. Come to that building on March the 9th or the 10th if you're going to come to Explore ACES. Among the exhibits and demonstrations are a quarter-scale tractor built by some students here on the campus for competition. There'll be sample foods, live animal displays, mini classes, food and bioprocess engineering exhibits, and information on admission requirements, financial aid, housing, and other items of interest to prospective students. You can find out a whole lot more on the ACES website. The address there is aces.uiuc.edu. Again, that's www.aces.uiuc.edu to find out more about Explore ACES, a weekend on the college campus at the University of Illinois, March the 9th and 10th. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
It's a Friday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, rejoined by Bruce Bostard. He's the co-op manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about an up and down week, mostly down, but there was a midweek pop there. How did the bases handle all of those gyrations?
The bases came back some. We have to look at it that we were at really pretty depressed levels. As the board was rallying in here and kind of getting maybe a little bit beyond what the cash demand was for grain, that the board had been scaling back further and further. So when we saw the break back this week, we've seen basis do some recovering, not huge numbers, but maybe 6 cents in the switch from the March to the May on the SIF corn, SIF beans, 3 to 4 cents better. Processor numbers a little better on corn and beans both, too, for the week.
And so that would make what was a pretty harsh down week at the Chicago Board of Trade a little easier to stomach.
Moderated a little bit, but it sure didn't offset what we've seen in board action.
No.
A couple of days there, it was kind of confusing. You know, you go down your 17, 18 cents down, and you close back down 7 or 8 cents. You're not sure if the glass is half empty or half full on a day like that.
Indeed. And then as you take a look out into next week, what are your expectations? Will we have a continuation of the downtrend?
I think right now we're kind of in one of those technical sell-off periods. That's what a lot of the upside was. Very little fundamental news out here to push it. I mean, I don't think anything in the Outlook conference was really unexpected out here. So to me, it seems like one of those gaps where nothing new, nothing to trade off of. It broke back, and then the technicals have been kind of feeding off itself. And, you know, we've got an awful lot of outside market stuff, too, with stock markets and currencies right now.
And then as you look further out into the summertime, maybe you could tell me a little bit about expectations for supply on old crop corn and soybeans. I know that there's been an awful lot moved into the elevator hand. By the time we get to maybe June, late July, what does that mean to the marketplace?
Anything? Well, percentage-wise, I think a lot more old crop corn has moved than old crop soybeans. There's still, percentage-wise, a lot more beans that have to be moving. We're out here where you're looking at near record March 1 stocks available in the Western Hemisphere. So we're going to see some big numbers of soybeans out there compared to corn. Right now they're still fighting for acres. I guess I worry about what happens to beans, either basis or basis board flat price or some combination once we get through planting and assuming normal weather. What we do on the soybean markets, do they just divorce themselves from the corn, which has been the big support? Corn-wise, there will be a weather market. We've got to produce a crop.
But I guess my question is about old crop corn.
Corn-wise, I guess the thing is that to move cash corn, you really just need to make corn move, you just need a basis pop. So much is moved, so much is sitting in hedged inventories that a, you know, 5 cent basis pop probably moves more corn than a 20 cent board pop does. Bull crop.
And your bids for the day?
For Paxton Tite, we're $3.99 on nearby corn, $3.76 new crop. Beans, $7.16 nearby, and $7.63 new crop.
Bruce, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us on Friday afternoons. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center will join us. It's now time for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Problems have been limited to a few loud parties and dozens of illegally parked cars. As University of Illinois officials monitor the campus during unofficial St. Patrick's Day, the bar-sponsored day of drinking has led to class disruptions and police problems in the past. The cities of Champaign and Urbana didn't allow bars to open until late this morning and are controlling beer and liquor purchases today. U of I police say they and the city police departments have extra patrols out. Relatives of those who died in a stampede at a Chicago nightclub 4 years ago say they're angry that a judge acquitted 3 men of involuntary manslaughter in the case. In his decision today, Judge Dennis Porter agreed with defense attorneys that the prosecutors hadn't proven their case. A woman whose niece died along with 20 others at the E2 Club says she's devastated. Pam Green says the decision shows there's no justice for victims. One of the acquitted men, Calvin Hollins Jr., says his heart goes out to the victims, but he says he's totally relieved by the ruling. Defense attorneys asked the judge to acquit their clients after prosecutors rested their case and before they called any witnesses themselves. A state employee was stopped for drunken driving in a state-owned car. Now, Illinois State Police say you have no right to any information about the incident. State police officials are refusing to release the arrest report that the Associated Press requested under the state's Freedom of Information Act. They say it would be an invasion of privacy for the employee, who has resigned. The Corrections Department confirms that former Chaplain William Watts of Chicago was stopped by state police late last year for driving under the influence. A spokesman says he knows nothing else about it. The Freedom of Information Law and the State Records Act both require arrest reports be released to the public. Aides to Governor Rob Blagojevich refused to comment. The governor's long pledged transparency in government. A spokeswoman for the Chicago Department of Aviation says nearly 500 flights have been canceled at O'Hare Airport over the course of the morning. Poor visibility, strong winds, and storms in other parts of the country are causing the cancellations, along with delays for flights in and out of O'Hare today. The Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles is still working the bugs out of a $32 million computer system installed last summer. License plate renewal notices have been delayed for a third month in a row. One woman in northern Indiana says her notices were sent to her parents' home, where she hasn't lived for 30 years. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Friday afternoon by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Windy out there today. We've had some thunderstorms, a little rain, and then it was going to cool off. We got what in store for the weekend?
Well, it looks like it'd be more of a winter-like situation this weekend with continued breezy weather probably through tomorrow. All the winds will be abating somewhat. And probably some snow showers and snow flurries through most of tomorrow, especially as we get into the heating of the day and we get clouds popping up. But so it looks like that's going to last through tomorrow. We'll see some clearing out on Sunday. And then a gradual warming during the week, whereas by maybe Wednesday or Thursday, we'll actually see temperatures getting close to normal, which highs generally now are in the 40s for this time of year. And but it looks like, for the most part, a dry week with the next chance for any kind of precipitation, maybe next Friday or Saturday.
And then March sometimes comes in like a lion. Not quite that the case yet, I suppose. We've got a few more days to go in the first part of March.
It certainly did yesterday. If you look at look at the Midwest as a whole in dealing with tornadoes, severe thunderstorms, and blizzards all in the same day. In Illinois, we lucked out quite a bit. We didn't get nearly the heavy rain that we thought we might get, nor all the severe weather that could have been possible. We did get some, but in general, we came through that pretty well. And it looks like the first week's going to be pretty tranquil by all looks of it right now. And but a little on the cool side to start with, but looks like we'll have some opportunities here to dry things out just a bit.
Speaking of drying things out, why don't you take a look at subsoil and soil moisture levels across the Midwest for me as we begin to think about the planting season?
Well, probably the case now is in many areas is too much water, especially in the Ohio Valley, up the Wabash Valley, most of Illinois and Indiana. A lot of rain. We've had a very wet winter, especially the last few weeks. We've had snow and rain on top of frozen ground. So a lot of this water that's on the ground isn't going to run in. It's going to run off. And even in the northern Midwest now, where it has been very dry, they've been in drought conditions in much of the northern half of Minnesota and Wisconsin. They've received some good snowfall, especially in Minnesota this last week to 10 days. So that'll help a little bit, although with frozen ground, it's hard to get that moisture in there. But bottom line is, I don't think soil moisture shortages will be a problem right now. It's going to be how quickly we can dry things out enough for producers to get into equipment into the field.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. It's a Friday. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for Commodity Week. Or if you can't wait, you can always hear it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our guest this week, John Bondurant of Memphis, Tennessee. Always makes for a good show. We hope to have you on board with us at 11:30 tomorrow morning.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.